Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'd like a hot dog all the way, please.
Coming up. Here you go.
Thank you. Ew. What is this?
That's a corn-based hot dog flavored tube-shaped thing. It's almost good. That'll be $4.50.
You know what? No thanks.
If almost good enough isn't good enough for you, why would it be good enough for your pet? Add kennel kelp to your furry friend's diet. Sprinkled on your pet's food, kennel kelp helps with arthritis pain and stiff joints. It can also reduce shedding, fill in missing areas, and improve their looks. Healthy pets show even more energy and have better attitudes. See results in 4 to 8 weeks. The good news is, kennel kelp isn't just for pets. It's good for you, too. Sprinkle it on your cereal, or use it instead of table salt when seasoning your food. Kennel kelp is the holistic care solution for pets and their people. Safe for dogs, cats, birds, cows, chickens, reptiles, almost anything that walks, flies, or slithers. It's a holistic health solution for humans, too. To learn about their many products, visit kennelkelp.com. Get kennel kelp for a happier, healthier life.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the BH Sales Kennel Kelp Holistic Healing Hour. Some of you, via invitation, were applicable. Mighty Church Mice, Peter and Paul, forever and ever, ubiquitous audience, one and all, continuing to pay it forward. We are growing exponentially through those efforts, and we greatly appreciate that. Quickly, we do 3 audio shows daily. My YouTube offering is Bill Holt, at Bill Holt 8792. Please give us a thumbs up, like us, share us, subscribe where you're comfortable in doing so. And very much like today, we do daily poll questions, trying to get some interaction with the listening audience over at our voicemail message board. And quickly, before I welcome my guest, and she is in studio patiently, Isabella Thor, and we'll welcome her formally here in just a moment. I want to squeeze this in because it's so important. I think we'll outline the 2 probing questions for today quickly here, segueing in. Thanks, everybody. And they are verbatim right in the description of the show. What are some of your biggest challenges, meaning you guys and gals in the audience in this instance? When I say that, thank you. So let me rephrase that. What are some of your biggest challenges when it comes to managing stress? And please do share your experiences with what coping mechanisms you found helpful, you know, where applicable within your own therapy or what have you. One more, and do you have any questions about incorporating stress reduction techniques into your daily routine, you guys and gals in the listening audience? And we would definitely love to hear from you and offer personalized guidance, myself as the layperson in the bridge, to the guidance and the authority, soon here, Isabella Thor. And she's going to kind of segue into her own personal experiences on that. So once again, thanks, everybody. Just trying to induce a little tiny bit more interaction. This is a taping on the 29th. And what we would love to have is when Isabella comes back in her upcoming appearances to maybe set the pace for some live Q&A. So that's what maybe the probing questions are, is just to get people starting to think in that vein. So quickly, Isabella, thanks for being patient in the bullpen, so to speak. You can hear me, I hope. Isabella, can you hear me okay now?
Yes, absolutely. Hello.
Okay, sorry, Isabella, that was on my end. First of all, welcome for the second time. Very much appreciated. And Isabella's website, real quickly, because that's a good follow along when you guys and gals hear this as of March 1st to yourselves, IsabellaThor.com, IsabellaThor.com. And welcome, Isabella, and segue right into today's questioning and tell everybody about yourselves just in case, you know, they missed something the first time around or they haven't had the great pleasure to become familiar with yourself as of yet. And good morning.
And good morning. That's a few things all at once. No problem.
Yeah, it is. It is. Good morning.
Well, thank you for that. Well, hello, everybody, and I'm Isabella Thor. I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner, so that means I run a functional nutrition practice online and help people with all sorts of problems from rheumatoid arthritis to health and reproduction system issues. Big variance, and that's kind of the first thing me and Bill talked about just a few weeks ago, all the things that I help with, especially for the females out there. I've got you if you got any problems. But for today, me and Bill were talking about how we could just also expand upon very important subjects in general when it comes to health. And I have many, many resources that I give to my clients on a monthly basis. And just last month, I wrote an article all about stress and this one technique that I usually give to my clients to make sure that they have that stress part of their life covered. There's only one thing you need to do. And amazingly, in the past 2 months, I got the data to show that it actually takes people's stress away by at least 50 to 80%. And I mean, the test subject that I had, it was like 80% stress reduction, which was incredible. So yeah, that's why we're here today, isn't it?
It is, and I want to concur to everybody. I did indeed read the article, hand to heart, heart to hand, whatever. I did indeed read it. It's very informative, and it's very straightforward. And again, just for everybody's sake, when you do get to IsabellaThor.com, if you just put in the /blog, you can not only see and read that one, her many other entries previous to that. And as she just said, we're going to segue moving forward, and I'll let her enunciate on this in just a second. But each subsequent her blog issue, as she generates them, somewhere near the tail end of each subsequent month, it would formulate a nice puzzle, in my humble opinion, to snap this all in together. So she's going to expand upon that blog that she's just iterating, but I just want to document to everybody, I read it, and definitely please take the time to do so yourselves when your schedules allow you to do so and when you're actually hearing this. Continue, Isabella.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. And I did hear you read that article. It was lovely
thank
to
you.
Hear.
Thank you. Hopefully it made some semblance of where we were both going. And I know that it did. But sometimes
yeah.
It takes a couple of steps and those types of procedures. So I'm glad that you did. And here we are. So continue.
No problem. And also, side note, just we welcome. I can't agree more that we would welcome so much anybody who has questions about this during, after, and we can address it again when we meet again next month.
Thank you for interjecting.
I think that's
that.
The most impactful thing we can do here.
Yeah, and thank you for interjecting that. Do continue. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So one stress technique is all you need, right? So that is the premise. And I have been using this stress technique, de-stressing technique, for a few years now with my clients. And I knew and I saw that it worked really well, but I never really had the data to show exactly how well it worked. So just a few months ago, I contacted a wonderful person who agreed to be my test subject. And the only thing I had her change about what she was doing was this one stress technique. And she wore a device called an Oura Ring. And an Oura Ring is basically a sleep tracking device, and it looks like a ring on your finger. And it tracks many, many things that are really interesting, and I can geek out about that all day. But the one thing
again,
that it does,
again, that's why we're blessed to have you, good Lord willing, for all of us, you know, the next, obviously, 12 months if it all happens and beyond. So thank you for that. But it does, all kidding aside, it takes that long. And that's a good thing. That's a good issue to have, that it takes that long, because it's an in-depth subject. It's not a poo-poo subject. So continue.
Excellent point. I'm so glad to hear someone else say that. But so the Oura Ring measures many things. But one of the things that it measures, which I find very fun to look at, are your, I think it's like every few hours, it measures your heart rate and your heart rate variability. So why is that important to stress? Well, because for most people, there is a range at which how many heartbeats you are feeling or experiencing means stress. And if it's less than that, it means you're probably just normal, maybe engaged in life. And if it's less than that, you're probably in a range of heartbeats that's more calm, relaxed, rejuvenated. So those are the three zones of heart rates that we're interested in. And Oura just sort of, shows you all of this range that you feel throughout the day on a graph. So this lady I had with me, to test this on. She was mostly in the stressed out category. And if you go to the blog that I wrote, I actually showed you, I think it was from January, her data from January on this Oura Ring, and it shows you this graph where it's basically an up and down sort of graph with just points on it telling you how high or how low her heart rate was at that point in her day. And before she tried the stress technique, on a typical work day, she was spending about at least 4 to 5, if not more, hours in a range of heart rate that is very stressed. It's more than engaged. It's more than like, I'm paying attention and alert. It's like, this is too much. And it's probably having a negative effect on her lifespan, health span. But we'll get into that later. Point is, she was definitely stressed and hours upon hours a day. And on the other end of the scale, in terms of when she was relaxed, how often was she relaxed, Bill? Like maybe half an hour a day. How insane is that?
That's great. And I just wanted, I'm sorry, I just wanted to interject one thing in there, Isabella, because I'm right in there with you on the blog page as we speak. And for some of you, you know, you'll catch up in this crazy world. I did a prelude show, so some of you might have seen the graphs that she's talking about that are depicted on her website via my prelude. Via my prelude show, it's a lot of information, but again, it's all good. I'm in there with her right now looking at it, and what I wanted to stress, pun intended, different connotation of the word, is it's so graphic. It's so graphic, and it's so, for the layperson, the patient, you know, the guy at the corner, whatever, with no aspersions on anybody's mental prowess or whatever, you don't have to be a professional, if you will. It's very straightforward and very depictive of what she just said, isolated to the one lady that she, you know, isolated as well. So for everybody's pictorial sake, when you get a chance to go to isabellathor.com on the blog page, those graphs are so depictive just pictorially. She's going to enunciate what I just interrupted her on. But I wanted everybody to be aware of that. The graphs are very depictive of what she's intimating. Continue, Isabella.
And thank you for interjecting that, actually, because graphs can be quite intimidating for lots of people. And you're right. This is absolutely super intuitive. It's not at all, you know.
This one is not, just to concur to that. And as we all just said, graphs can be, in no aspersions on their authors or whatever, graphs in and of themselves can be tough. This one's very user-friendly, if you will. Continue, Isabel.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, excellent point.
Thank you.
And I love the pun. Please do the puns. I can't stress that enough. That's just, I'm all about puns.
Good. If we can't be happy, we're not getting out of the proverbial gate, no matter how we're trying to address stress. Agreed?
Ooh, yes.
Yep.
That's for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll continue. But here she was spending at least 5 hours a day in stressed mode, just measured by her Oura Ring, okay? And then maybe half an hour of restored time where your body's not just calm, but it's actually getting the chance to recover, which is even more of a deeper relaxed state. So what did we do then? So first I just observed her for about a month or so just to get her working day stress average. And then I'm like, okay, so the only thing we're going to change here is you're going to practice this one breathing technique. And we're going to go into that technique real soon, but here's the results, because that's really why you want to hear about the technique. In the next month, on a typical working day, you saw her reduce her stress down from 4 to 5 hours to about 1 hour. And to increase her restored time, that's more than relaxed, remember that, from 30 minutes to almost 4 hours. And that's so powerful. And if you want like a different way to look at it, that's a sevenfold increase in restorative time and a fourfold decrease in stress. That's when you're worrying, ruminating, breaking down your own body resources and all that. That is super powerful. And it's not hard. And that's what I want to go for next. Just like the graphs are quite intuitive to read, this technique is also super easy to incorporate into your life. And it's not even something you have to sit and do, you know, on its own, like maybe a meditation would be, or going out to exercise would be taking out a certain time out of your day. It's something that you can just always use no matter what you're doing. So that's why also what I love about it. But yeah, Bill, do you think we should tell them what it is? It's called the slow breath.
I do, because I think we've whetted their appetite, and that's what we should be doing. That's what we should be doing. So hopefully we did succeed in that. I don't want to get too cock-robin. I'm goofing around. Please do.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I mean, I'm always tempted just to tell people right away, like, what to do. But most people, honestly, need first to know why it's important. Otherwise, they won't even want to try it. So, yeah.
Correct.
Here it is. It's called the slow breath. Okay, so what is the slow breath? It's super simple. All you got to do is slow your breath down to 5 to 6 times a minute. So that's you're breathing 5 times or 6 times a minute. So just as a reference, before I go into detail, most of us breathe about 15 or more times a minute if we're not thinking about it. So now we're slowing it down to 1/3 of that at least. So what does that look like? If you want to breathe 5 to 6 times a minute, you usually have to break down each breath into about 10 to 12 seconds, right? And here's the only rule you got to follow. The exhale has to be at least equal to or longer than your inhale. So what does that look like? You can breathe in for 5 seconds, and you can breathe out for 5 seconds. Or in for 6, out for 6. So that's equal in, equal out. Or you can breathe in for 5 seconds, exhale 6 or 7 seconds. Any combination like that, it works. And that's all you got to do. And isn't that simple, eh?
I'm sorry, a real quick interjection for those of you that might be here now from the Workouts for Geriatrics or in replay as you come across it or whatever. that fraction of my audience as you do come through what you're hearing. That's a lot about what we talk about with a little tiny bit of different jargon and dotting the I's and crossing the T's a little bit different, but it's the kind of the exact same thing when we talk about heart variable rate there. Heart rate, the HRV, and also the structured breathing. And again, never, ever said anything by me, and I tell everybody that. I deviate from everything. But my own comfort zone, who cares? My number is 7 in, and I usually hold it for 4 and do it for 3 cycles. But what Isabella is saying here is, especially in the beginning, Do what the practitioner is saying, and you know, let the wild man do his own version. But at the same time, with the kidding aside, we do address, you know, those methods in that audience. So that audience, as you're coming in, she's saying exactly the same thing, but obviously a little tiny bit different way, pertinent to her subject matter here. So I just wanted to make that clarification for my audience coming in. Continue, Isabella. Thank you.
And I do think that's a great interlude again. I don't think Bill says anything unnecessary.
So, thank you. That's number one.
But honestly, this slow breath has so many different variations. Bill just mentioned, you know, something that might reminds me like of a version of the box breath, you know. You breathe in for a bit longer, you even hold your breath, then you exhale for a while, and then you hold your empty lungs empty for a little bit, and then you keep going. So there's so many variations of this, and some are very, very powerful in for specific effects. For example, I think the box breath is even used in the military, right? And that's when you need to calm yourself down as soon as possible. Otherwise, things go wrong really quick. But what I'm trying to accomplish here with most of my clients, and again, all that is awesome. I celebrate you for doing that. That is just epic. And you guys, if you're doing any version of this, it counts, okay? You don't have to be perfect. But what I'm using this for my clients is I'm trying to find a way, well, I did find a way to make it as easy as possible so that it becomes as automatic as possible so that when they're breathing and not even thinking about it anymore, most of the time they are just continuing this 5 to 6 times a minute of breathing. And correct. When you hold your breath, with an inhale or keep your lungs empty, that's when you start needing to use your conscious effort to voluntarily control your skeletal muscles and so on. And that's the part that's, you know, you can sit down and do that for a meditation. Like, this is a guaranteed time for yourself. Set that aside. You can do that and feel the effect. But this is something that you can use all the time.
I'm sorry, yes. Isabella. I have to do these things because they don't stay on my mind too long. I'm sorry, I kid around a little bit, but such a great adjunct, if you will, to what we do in meditation. And for those of us that are doing the meditation part, like a couple, 3 times a day, this is so easy to fit in, just like Isabella said, because you don't necessarily, and those versions on the meditation part, you're getting the best of both worlds if you're actually doing that. But you don't have to, you know, sit down per se, as she said, to do this, you know, the same way that you might indeed isolate your meditation time, especially in the quiet comfort of your home or whatever. And then as you get into the workplace or whatever, trying to squeeze in meditation, I kid around the old Three Stooges movie when Curly painted the eyeballs to look awake at the workstation. I'm kidding around a little bit. Isabella, continue. It's just that it's a good adjunct to meditation. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if there's nothing, you're not doing anything wrong. If you do this in coercion with meditation, you're actually doing something quite nicely. Continue, Isabella. I just wanted to slide that in. Continue.
You know, everybody here agrees that, you know, we're not going to let perfection be the enemy of the good, you know? Like,
exactly.
If you do this meditation, fantastic.
Exactly.
If you're in the comfort zone,
exactly. Yeah. But anything that you could, we all want to search for, okay, that's great and it's awesome, but is there more that I can do too? Maybe we want to reach the maximum, you know. So it's true on exactly what you said, but we want to explore all options. We're here about good health. So continue, Isabella. Continue.
Well, absolutely, and it's worth mentioning that. I mean, I developed this specifically for, like, most of my clients are working professionals. Either they own their own businesses or they're full time working and have a family, and like. How many of you have continued your 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. meditation practice after you had a kid, you know?
It's extremely difficult.
And if you can do it, well done.
Such a great point,
if you can't,
Isabella,
don't beat yourself
up. It is such a great point. I'm sorry, I keep talking over you, but it's such it's such a great point because you just said that, and I'm so glad that you're incorporating it as your non-therapist hat when you do take it off at some point in time in the day, of course, to, you know, have day-to-day endeavors and what have you. It's, you know, we all have stress. It's part of the human equation. It's so good that you kind of bare your soul a little bit in that regard. I appreciate that because nobody's impervious to this. None of us.
No.
So continue.
Absolutely. And this is why it's worth mentioning how I introduce this to my clients usually. So this is usually what I start with. Most of my clients first need to remember the feeling in their body of what stress feels like. And funny story, that my test subject, when she was having those daily stressed out days, and I asked her how she felt during the day and throughout the weeks we tested together, she actually just said that she felt normal. And that is your body amazing, ability to adapt to what's normal. So if, even if it's super stressful for you every day, literally your this ring that she wore, it was like definitively telling her, here's the data. You, if we compared you to 100 or 1,000 people, you're in the heart rate zone where you are definitely stressed. And I mean, like, you're shortening your lifespan. You're going to get gray hair and white hair earlier.
You really are. You really are.
Chronic disease.
You really, really are. True.
Yes, true. There aren't many things that unnecessary chronic stress doesn't make worse. And maybe we can get into that later. But the point really of this interlude is to say that she didn't know that she was stressed. And what she was actually feeling was numb. So back to how I introduced this slow breath to my clients. First, I help them notice what their body's feeling. So when they first start this slow breath, I ask them to only practice it when they feel any of these following five things. Okay, so
yep.
If you feel body tension, often in the shoulders, in the neck for people. Okay, second thing, if you feel overwhelmed, you have way too much on your plate, the deadlines are coming, anything like that, or you have way too much responsibility on your plate, etc. Third thing, when you're pulled to rush, so that means you're getting things done, driven by stress to get it done, and you feel like if you don't do it now, you're like, something terrible is going to happen. Like, basically the same terrible level as death. Rushing
yep.
is such,
yep.
such a good indicator that you need to start practicing this breath now. Okay, fourth thing. If you notice negative thought black holes, this is slightly different from negative memory loops. Black holes, negative thought black holes, they don't even have to be negative. It just, it seems like you can't get out of it. That's the most important part. Whatever it is, you can't escape the thought, or whether it's drawing you down or sideways, you know. And then the
Correct.
Last one is slightly different, but very similar in terms of how inescapable it feels. It's when you feel negative memory loops, things that just happened, or that one thing you said that you can't believe, or you wake up in the morning and you have terrible thoughts about the things you did yesterday.
Yep.
And
yep.
all that, like, it happens to most of us, and
of course.
All of that is just a sign. It's just your body's language to tell you to pay attention, and then don't judge it. Don't say, oh no, I'm rushing again, or like I'm tense in my neck again, or I'm thinking about Bob again.
Yep.
Instead of that, don't waste any time on that. Just start, first relax your body a little as much as you can, and then start breathing 5 to 6 times a minute. 5 seconds in, 6 seconds out. Just start there, do it for a minute, and watch all those things melt away. It's just like magic.
It is. And just to be really redundant on the point for a reason, to infinity, the breathing is the catalyst to accentuate all of the rest that Isabella, when I be quiet and let her finish talking about. But it is the catalyst. It is the catalyst. Continue, Isabella.
Oh, yes, it is the catalyst to so much more. I love that point. And I can't agree more because, you know, when I work with people with chronic conditions, especially, like, especially people that have chronic pain conditions like fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, oh my goodness, endometriosis, man, yeah. That pain is intense. Anyway, most of them are also incredibly hard on themselves, and most of them are very type A, you know, they feel very defeated that suddenly they can't move or do as much because of all the pain that's just in the way now. And they get stressed because of that,
exactly.
Which makes their condition worse. Surprise, but like it's a real feeling. It's not something we're going to just throw away. These feelings are real. You know, you want to do more, but you can't.
Over in our corner of the world, when we talk about those things, we kind of affectionately call that the vortex.
Continue. The vortex, yes. Oh, that's such a good, yeah, absolutely. And I have these rituals for my clients, and that means that they do one thing straight for 90 days, because if you do one thing and you commit to it for 90 days, then it becomes almost certainly automatic. And then you have something for your entire life to benefit your health and well-being. And when I have pain clients, people in pain, I usually give them this ritual to begin with, the slow breath. And I can't tell you how much it relaxes them. And many of them have other things that they do. So they do meditations, you know,
exactly.
For a certain
yep.
set time. They take long walks. They
yep.
take calming supplements.
Yep.
They buy
yep.
themselves a pet,
yep.
you know, to feel better. But all of those things don't work, or they're short term. Or like meditation, I love people that may take the time to do that, but as soon as you get out into the real world, many of those things that you've built up in yourself, you know, get torn away from you real quickly. It takes
yep.
years for that to stay with you throughout the entire day, what you build in your sessions with meditation. But that's all.
It just replaces
so much in their lives.
And your transparency is so great because you're not leading someone down a primrose path, and you're being
yeah.
straightforward. There is no magic wand, potion, pill, therapy. Stay with me, folks. That's gonna say like, hey, I'll see you in 24 hours, and everything's gonna be wonderful. Don't we wish that could be? But that is indeed nirvana. But we can get you there. You know, through the series, I guess it's kind of like the old adage, to some degree, until you convince yourself of whatever, with all due respect, it doesn't matter until they kind of get it to seek it out. And you alluded to that in your last episode with me, the first one, that for the most part, obviously, when people are to that juncture, they are ready to seek you out, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're willing
yep.
to try anything is what they're
correct.
What they tell me.
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
Because they probably have tried all the alternatives, whatever they may be, with all aspersions aside, whatever they may be. And apparently and obviously, whatever those are or were, weren't working for Mr. or Mrs. Smith, if you will.
Yeah, which is
to protect their anonymity. To protect their anonymity, right? I'm goofing around a little bit, and I want to make sure that you have plenty of time. We have about 10 minutes left. I want to make sure
yeah.
that you do get everything in for today, and then for sure segue what we're going to do moving forward. And I promise I'll be quiet for a couple minutes. Go ahead.
What are you talking about? You've been doing that all the time.
I'll put a piece of tape. I'll put a piece of tape over my mouth right now.
There is at least two more things that I really want to, really can't wait to share with you, because this blows my client's mind every time, or any person I tell this to, every time I tell it to them. So, number one, stress. What is the real cost of unnecessary stress? And the first thing I can't wait to tell people is that stress is nutritionally demanding.
Yep.
And I tell people that it's like inflation. So just imagine your body has, you know, an X 100 points of resources, right, every day to do everything it does normally, everything from breathing to walking to thinking. Okay, so now if you go through your day and you're just engaged or calm or somewhere in that range, everything costs your body basically what everything used to cost about 100 years ago. So, you know, do you guys know that, 20 American dollars in 1913 has the same purchasing power of $650 today?
Correct.
Right? It's an incredible inflation. Okay. So here's the thing. If you're in a stressed state, everything your body needs to do costs it more. And I'm talking about, you know, it's like your body's living in the 1913s, in the 1900s, when you're calm or engaged and not unnecessarily stressed. But as soon as you get into that state where you're unnecessarily stressed, suddenly your body has to pay 30 times more what it used to need to pay for all the basic things that it does. And that also means that it uses up 30 times more, basically 30 times more high quality nutrients that are being stored in your body and are needed for all the other essential things that you care about in your life. For example, good mood, healthy sex drive, healthy menstrual cycles or hormonal cycles, whether you're a man or a woman, all those things, people care about those things, especially the good mood. Like, that's important to people. And having energy, that's important to people. Like, the ability to think and not be in brain fog all the time. But to be in all those great states requires an overabundance of resources. But if you're spending it on this inflated cost of daily living just because you're stressed, well, it's no wonder that you will often stay in terrible moods for most of the day, in anxiety most of the day, maybe even anger, depression. Your sex drive just goes away completely, and menstrual cycles go off balance, and same thing for testosterone cycles for men. And why does this all happen? Again, the top priority for our body is survival. And that's why it happens. That's the first thing I can't wait to tell people. You know, if you choose to stay in stress, you are choosing to pay inflated costs for breathing, thinking, and walking, for just basic stuff. How about that, Bill?
That's great. And we are down to about 6 minutes and 30-ish seconds. If you wanted to try to skirt phase two, or if you want to leave that till the next time, wherever you want to go in this last 5 minutes or so to pave the way, for what we're shooting for moving forward, per your great suggestions, by the way. If you wanted to paint a picture for that for upcoming events, I'll let you do that in the last 5 minutes or so.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the only one thing I can't help but saying about stress in general is that before we talk about like what the plan is going forward with me and Bill,
Okay, sure.
Just to remind you guys that unnecessary stress usually increases your risk for developing all sorts of chronic conditions. It gives you higher doses of negative emotion, shortens your lifespan, shortens your health span. We talked about the graying and whitening of hair, you know, all that stuff happens way more and more intensely if you stay chronically stressed. And what I want to encourage people is to instead appreciate what it feels like to be engaged instead of stressed. When you're engaged, you're able to deeply focus, calmly problem solve, remain open and creative. That's what we want. We don't want to be distracted by inner drama or turmoil. And we have more positive emotions like joy and confidence, curiosity. And the last thing I want to mention is that there is a positive kind of stress. I call all that, I specifically tried to call differentiate unnecessary stress versus stress, because stress is a big category. And there is a subcategory under stress called eustress. And that's when you particularly challenge your body so that something good happens. And that can happen, for example, when you fast, when you go to a sauna, when you go for a cold exposure, when you exercise. All those are stresses, but they make you stronger at the end of the day. They don't cost you more than what they give you. And that's also interpersonal stuff, you know, like asking your boss for a raise. You know, that's a big thing, being vulnerable in your relationships. Anyway, so much to say. But I know we only have about 2 more minutes to go, so 3 more minutes. What Bill and I have talked about is that we were probably going to go into the future every month or not months from now, and we're going to talk about different subjects that come up in these letters that I write about. So every month I write a nutrition letter, is what I call it, which is basically a blog and a newsletter. And I send it to all my clients and their friends and family and so on. And this is just a piece of really valuable news that is supposed to help you improve your health. And this month it was about stress and what to do about it, and exactly why you should care about it, and detailing the techniques behind it. So yeah, Bill and I were just talking, and well, why not just do that every month? The newsletter comes out the middle of the month, and then, you know, a week or two later, by the end of the month, we'd talk about the newsletter and the most valuable parts of it, answer questions from you guys from the last month's interview. And most importantly, just keep sharing, because this information is life-changing. I think that's the most important thing. Would you want to add anything, Bill?
I would concur to that wholeheartedly. And real quickly, a couple of points that Isabella said when she did the referencing about the dying dollar and the fiat chart dying of the dollar. Those of you that are here about 7K metals, where applicable, that's exactly what we talk about there at my business show, because that's a part of health is structured wealth. But we also talk about the alchemist side of gold and silver too, everybody. So I wanted to squeeze that in myself. And one more time, because we still have a minute, just so nothing gets lost in the translation. Isabella, I'll let you tell everybody about your website real quickly, just so nothing gets lost. I'll bid you adieu upon completion of you doing that. I'll be in touch with you behind the scenes. So go ahead and take it away.
Yep. Yeah, sure thing. If any of you are interested in resolving your chronic conditions of any kind, whether it's mood, body, or pain-related, come check me out. I run a private online practice. And that's exactly what I help people do. And I promise this one thing above all, I don't manage your symptoms. I resolve the root cause of them. That's what I do. And that's the only way to do it. And I can be found on isabellathor.com. As Bill kindly mentioned already, I still offer people free 90-minute consultations with me, which is just when I go over your paperwork, we do a free functional health assessment. And that assessment is pure gold already. It tells you so much about what to prioritize next, even if we don't work together. But that's it. It's just you and me. We talk for an hour or 90 minutes, whatever it takes, and we're going to just figure out what you need to do to get better next. And yeah, that's it for me. What a wonderful conversation this was, Bill. Thank you so much.
Can't wait to hear
your questions, everybody.
Thank you, Isabella. Forward your questions to either myself or Isabella. Make sure you say you heard them here. Bye-bye for now, but tomorrow, see you. Thank you. Bye, everybody. Thank you.